Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again as we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to feast upon thy word, and we thank you, Lord, for the table being spread at this hour of time for us. As we are nearing, O Lord, to the coming of the great wonderful day of the Lord Jesus Christ when he shall come for his bride.
Amen.
So, Father, at this time now, just bring the word of life to us and make it known to us, Father, our place in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We ask for your grace in Jesus' name now. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right. Today, we're specifically going to deal with the topic on the predestination by God's foreknowledge. For those of you who have not been here with us in our last three services on the topic of the true evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism, go online and download it. And it is not something that is only superficial that we are teaching, that we are taught the last few weeks. And I believe that every one of you can afford to have an MP3. Nowadays people don't want to use cassette. Okay? So just get an MP3, download it from the website on the MP3, and just plug it into your ear and go into the kitchen and do your cooking. Or you walk on the road wherever you are and you can hear. Okay? So now everything is very simple. You don't have to carry a big gadget, a little Walkman or things like that in your hand as in those days. Now everything is getting smaller and smaller. So you are without excuse. You enjoy the modern technology of the present world, so use it wisely. Amen. Alright, our topic, predestination by God's foreknowledge. We have dealt with this before, and I believe many of us may think we know, but apparently I have heard on this some 5 years ago, and some 5 years ago, there are still a lot of young people at that time. Those who are 15 was only 10 years old. And those who are now 18, is only 13 years old, so perhaps you have shown no interest. And I don't know whether the young ones here show any interest. Alright? So we are going to talk about predestination. First of all, go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, because I'm so kind, I was so thinking of you, so I decided to put it on the verse for you. Because I was intended by everyone to, but I want you to open to your Bible, because I believe that you still need to write some notes on the margin of your Bible. Okay? And if you want to keep the Bible in pristine condition, maybe you want to use a notebook, that's fine. But make use of the Bible. Alright, so now, this is the verse that we're going to use to detect another text of scriptures as we look back and forth. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Now, I think it seems to be very straightforward when we read the scripture like this. But the doctrine of predestination has been argued many times. And I believe that in those ages past, when theologians or Bible students look into the doctrine of predestination, many of them make a mess of themselves because they don't realize that it is not just predestination, but it is predestination by God's foreknowledge. Because when they talk about predestination, some people actually believe, some actually teaches that, even today, that God, when he created man or woman, he looked at them and said, okay, I'm going to take this this woman, and I'm going to put her into heaven. I'm going to take this woman, and I'll put her into hell. Then I'm going to look at this man, I'm going to pick this man, and put him in heaven, and I'm going to pick the other man, and put him in hell. That's what it is, predestination. And that's what many people believe to this day, that it is what God did. Because there are certain other verses in Scripture that appears to be so. You know, but we can examine again, as I said, when we go into examination and study a little deeper into some of this doctrine, it will help us to understand. And predestination will mean nothing to you if you don't have a real relationship with God. Amen. You will probably see many people or hear many of your friends talk to you and say, if you believe in the God of the Bible, He is real. If God is good, then what is all this trouble in the world? You know, why are some people born blind, some born crippled, and this and that and this and that? So you see, if you don't have a relationship with God, you are always asking, you are always asking negative questions. You are always putting it forward to people. Let us go to another verse of Scripture first before we continue. We are going to use Romans 8:28 later again, but let us go into Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us. And now that is the apostles, huh? Having predestinated us, the apostles, Paul is talking about here now, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the beloved. Now if you go back and look at all this again to the top, you see Paul wrote this epistle to the saints in Ephesus. And I believe that this is part of those Philippian book, Galatian book, when he was a prisoner in Rome. Alright? And he wrote this and he addressed to them, grace be to you. And then in verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who have blessed us. Now here is all. Alright? The word us, we may find out what Jesus answers to who. Bless us with spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Then in verse 4 says, according as He chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us. Now, this is referring to the apostles, not to those things in Ephesus. Now the trouble is that when we read it, we had a problem trying to see whether Paul was referring to us inclusively or just the apostles themselves. Alright, now let us continue and we meet the next verse 7 onwards. In whom we have redemption to His through His blood, and forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Now, I'm still talking about the apostle here. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, He might gather together in one all thing in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trust. Now, you understand what Paul comes on to now in this verse. Okay? That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. But now, ye also trust, in whom you also trust, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, as to the redemption of the purchased possession, as to the praise of His glory. Now remember, the gospel was first given to Israel. And the very first group of people that actually received the gospel actually the disciples. Is that right? Who were then commissioned to bring the gospel to the rest of the world when God sent them out as apostles. So Paul talked about us who the first who trust in Christ. And we were the one that God had dealt with us, called us, predestined us, chosen in His people before the foundation of the world. And then He said, you also. You understand that? You also. You know? And so whom God therefore called, you can therefore, if you want to use the word ask Him. Collectively now, no problem. You see? But when we look the way Paul is saying, first God called us. He had a purpose in our life. He predestined us. He gave us the understanding of the mystery of His will and all these things. And then after you have heard the gospel, in whom, and you believe and you obey, the one whom we first trust, now you also believe. Alright? And then Paul used the word, our inheritance, verse 40, which is the earnest of our inheritance, collectively now. So I want you to know that, go back to verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now remember this, anything that God is going to do is all known to Him before the foundation of the world. Okay? So the thing is that if He has chosen us, chosen the apostles, chosen Israel, those that are true Israel, chose those who are elect of the Gentile nation, then all these things must be done before the foundation of the world. My question is, how did He choose? How did He choose you and me? So that He could predestinate us unto the adoption of children. Alright. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 13. No, you don't have all the verses, huh? Romans 9, verse 13 says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So when we look at this verse of Romans 9, verse 13, predestination is not just picking up Jacob and love him, and pick up Esau and hate him. If we do not understand the background of the fall, if we don't understand from the beginning of the creation of all things, we will not understand about this choosing. And even to this day, and it is true, the group, some church believe in predestination, and they really believe that there are certain people that just cannot be saved because God has put them, I have chosen them as an outcast. And there is a group of people that will be saved because God has chosen them, and they can never be lost because God chose them. And when we look at the way that the Bible is written, we need to really properly look into this in this end time. Alright? So all this information that you have in all these texts, chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, predestined us unto adoption of children, according to His good pleasure, which is the purpose in Himself, and so on. Now we look to the next text now. 1 Peter 1:19-21. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last time for you, who By him who believed in God, they raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your hope, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now watch again, verse 20. Foreordained. Who is it that was foreordained? It was none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Now everything goes back before the foundation of the world was laid. Okay? Revelation 13:8, and he says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So, that gives you a little talk over here. But that was an example of God. You know, our denomination, the elders, the deacons, or the leaders of the church would always have programs. Evangelistic program, seminars, and things like that. So it was one of these seminars that was being shared by the pastor. The doctrines of predestination came up in discussion. And because at that time I was still just a young man, I just listened 2 years. And the rest of that were the elder one, the Sunday school teacher, the deacons. They all supposed to, you know, knowledgeable in the Bible, but I found later they weren't. You know. They're all just being a so-called pillar of the church, but spiritually they know they're not up, they're not tuned up, so to speak. So one of the deacons or Sunday school teacher asked the pastor. He asked the pastor, if God knows all things, because he's all powerful, and he knows the future from the beginning, and therefore he sees who will accept the gospel and come to the Lord Jesus and repent and get saved. And he also knows those that who will reject the gospel. Is that right? Then he asked the pastor, if that is so, then why must we preach the gospel? Why must we preach the gospel then? You know, so I sat there now and listening to the whole thing, and just look at the pastor and see how he would answer. But that was the beginning of the first of two questions that he answered that I always remember to this day. The other one was that about the Trinity, where three persons can squeeze into one chair and sit down there, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You know, but this was the one that was earlier. And this is what the pastor said. And I think he was just sitting down trying to figure out what answer, you know? And I think that's bad. And he said this. He said, well, God knows everything. That is true. But he chose not to know in this case. He said, what? I was saying, oh my. God chose not to know whether you be saved or you will not be saved. God just chose not to know. So he could set out the gospel and said, whosoever will come. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting life. You see, God chose not to know so that he can set the gospel out and everybody have a chance to hear the gospel. Sounds good, huh? Oh, my brother, a little Daniel was asking this paradoxical question. You young people, no, I think a lot of young people think they're pretty smart nowadays in school, you know. Especially when they come to know that you are a Christian, they think that, wow, Christianity, being a Christian is easy, yeah? And being a free thinker, believing no God, even if God exists, who cares? You know? Because now I'm going to ask a question and see if you can answer it. Is your God powerful? Is your God all powerful? In fact, is that so? Is God all powerful? Yes, isn't it? If your God is all powerful, Daniel, can he make a hole so small that he cannot go in? Or if he's so powerful, can he make a rock so heavy that he cannot lift it? You know what I'm saying? You might just say, if God is so powerful, how is God not to be God? You know what I mean? You know, these are foolish questions. Only foolish people think like that. Because if this thing cannot happen, God knows everything here. How can He choose not to know? Okay. Alright. Nathan, Isaiah, you know who your mother is? Choose not to know him. Choose not to know. Who's my mother? Is it possible? Something that is within you, you cannot choose not to know. That is true, isn't it? And if you're all so powerful, how can you be so powerful as not to be able to make a stone so heavy that you cannot lift it? Yet, when you make a stone so heavy that you cannot lift it, yet you are still God, and yet you could lift it. No matter how, you make it heavy, I make it myself powerful, I can lift it. No matter how, the paradox question is ridiculous. You know, I have been asked this in the hospital where I work. You know what I always tell them? That's only a fool asks that question. That's true, isn't it? They're trying to be smarter than God. So remember this. Even evolutionists, who believe that life is without design. Life just pop, pop, pop. You know, there is no design in that. And I was watching this program on TV. How are some Christian scientists trying to find something to prove this Darwinian teaching of evolution is not true. Because the Americans have taken away the Bible from school. And they want the school to be taught evolution. I know they don't believe it, and they say that they cannot accept that the creation, everything that exists has intelligence. There is a designer. And all these things that you see today, they are intelligent design. They don't happen by chance. It's not a random what you call thing that just happened without a purpose. It says that if evolution is true, it doesn't matter if all animals go extinct. Or if the world warms up to 1,000 degrees or freezes away. Or if a man destroys himself with nuclear power. If evolution is true, then it doesn't matter, isn't it? It doesn't matter if the animal all died. It doesn't matter if a madman out there somewhere in the world just start to make a nuclear bomb and let it fly over the world. It doesn't matter. After all, we are just a part of some chance. Boom, 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 and here we are. You know? If evolutionists are right, it doesn't matter how you live or how you die. Right? But if the Bible is true, it matters a great deal. If it is true, if the Bible is true, because if the Bible is true, then you are an individual made in the image of God. You've got to realize that. You know this Stephen Hawking? He's a very famous physicist. In one of the recent lecture, you know what he said? That was in Hong Kong. He said, we are getting closer to answering the age-old question. Why are we here? Why did we come from? We are getting nearer, closer to answering the age-old question. Why are we here? Where did we come from? He has been too long thinking of all this question in his head. And he doesn't know that we all know the answer already. Huh? Isn't it? It's an old question. No. The question is, it's everyday, a present thing. It's not just age old. It's something that we already know. Why we are here? Where we come from? The Bible has the answer. So we have people like these that take up that chance, and you know, and then if you want to believe that God is good or God is bad, then you can choose one and go to heaven, choose another one and throw him in hell. That is not what God is doing. You know, Bible would always prove any science or any scientific finding that is true. He will back it up. But when it is so-called, or what we call science falsely so-called, then you will never have the answer. Is that right? You will never have the answer. The Bible will prove true science. It will. Other than that, just science falsely so-called. Now the Bible says in the book of Psalms 41, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That's true. But that is about this paradoxical question. Alright, Daniel? There is one thing about this paradoxical question. Can God choose not to know? If He is so powerful, He chooses not to know. Can He choose not to know? If God is so powerful, can He make a rock so heavy He cannot carry it? But that is one thing that we want to know here. God cannot choose not to know. He knows. But one thing about you and me, once we come to the faith, once we come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and once we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Then God deal with us. You know, God doesn't, a Jesus guy say, I came to save lost sheep. I mean, if you're not lost, what can, he doesn't look for you. Am I alright? When your child is lost, you go hunt for him. If your child is not lost, you go out hunt for him? No. So the same thing is this right here now. If you and I, we are all children of living God now, right? Once we were sinners, and then we came to the Lord Jesus, repent, and our sin washed away. So now, when God looked down upon us now, if you are a child of God, He looked down upon you and me, can He still see the sin? After all, He's God, isn't He? Can He see the sin in you? Now there is one thing He will not be able to see. But He's God, He should be able to see your sin. You know why He can't see? Because there is blood overshadowing it. When the blood stands before you, you can't see. And God cannot see your sin because the blood has cleansed it all. Paradoxical question? Yes. Huh? And I'm so glad there's one thing God did. There's one thing that God is blind. And that is our sin. Because it has been taken care of by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, if He still can see the sin, that means the blood of Jesus Christ is not a barrier, or a cleanser, or a remover, or a covering at all. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like an ostrich, yeah? Pretty safe to say, hey, I see nobody sees me, but his back sticking up. And that would be said. Do you see that? Okay, Acts 15. Known unto God, known unto God, all His works from the beginning of the world. That was what He was sure. And Isaiah 45, 7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Oh my. Now you ask, that's great. What? Okay. Known unto God. That's why I said, to understand predestination now, we are going back before anything exists. Okay, then when God then started to create. After He already counseled Himself, He started to create. But when, during His time of counseling, when He was to create all these things, and He looked into the future, He knows what's going to happen. Obviously, He's God. You must understand that He's all powerful, He's omniscient, omnipotent. He can look into the future, He sees everything. What's going to be? Right? Known unto God, all his work from the beginning of the world. He starts to do a work, he makes everything, okay, before prayer multiply and so on, then he looks into the future, he sees all the calamity, he sees all the problems, he sees all the wars and disasters, he sees everything. That's why Isaiah says, God could say to Isaiah, I form the light and create darkness, I need peace, I create calamity. I'm the Lord, make all these things. It's true. Because everything is bounced back to him because he's the only source of everything that exists. So the only thing that exists that is fact, he is the one who brought that about. You understand this thing? Sure, isn't it? Oh, we can say like a man, you know, he's a good man. He did well. He had two sons. One was a real black sheep. Real black sheep, you know. He did all the hard crime. And the other one is good. But the good goes to him. He's the source, right? He's the father. And the bad one also goes back to him. He's the father. You need to understand this. There is always a source. When we come into the New Old Testament, we see, and when we read in the Old Testament, and I guess many of you don't realize it, some of you are one. But remember this, our God is not only a God of peace, but He's also a God of war. Do you realize that? He has mercy, He has grace, and yet He is also a God that judges. So, when we read the Old Testament, we read about the giants in the Canaan land. Why did He order the children of Israel, when they go across the river Jordan into the promised land of Canaan, why did He order them to kill everyone? Man, woman, and children, and baby, and pregnant woman. Kill them all. Spare not even one. They are like him. The Zamzumi. The Amalekites. The Canaanites. The Philistines. These are all giants. But who are these giants? You know, when I was in the working in the hospital one time, somebody was saying, you know, you always talk about your God being good. In the old Bible, God was a killer. He was a murderer. You order people of Israel to go and kill. I said, yeah. But you see, he doesn't know anything about the super sea. Anyone to this day, you ask, why? He says, oh, they are just wicked. But why? Are not modern day people, some of us are also wicked. Some modern people are wicked also. But what of everyone? Why everyone? Even a child. And this is where you need to understand, predestination, you need to go back and understand, first of all, what happened in the garden. You need to understand about the original sin. You need to understand about the serpent seed. And what God then said, Israel, wipe the world out. Do you understand that now? You see. God already sent a flood in the days of Noah. To give it all the pure substance, all the pure one, completely pure, destroy all of them. But you know, after the flood we have Ham, who have incest with his mother, and the mother was actually Kenneth. And that's what they, through that incestuous union, who was born? Come on, Canaan. And it is that child that populated the whole land of Canaan. The Canaanites, and after all, the different intermarriage bring forth many different tribes. That's why they have to be destroyed and removed. No other God always was from the beginning. When God sees all these things, He knows. He has to get rid of them. Because they are never going to be any good. They will never repent. Because everything about them, the Bible says, they are always totally evil. You know, you look at today, some of the, you read the paper and all this killing, all this murder, some people are just demon possessed. Is that right? Go back to Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called. The call, you read this, you need to understand that all things work together for good to them that do not like God, for them that do not love God. Is that what he said? No. The Bible is not for sinners, The Bible is for God's people. Right. People don't believe that. When we talk about the gospel is preached to the sinners. But the whole Bible is a love letter between God and you. So God deal with his people. First he dealt with Israel. Then he went and deal with the Gentiles. So no matter what, all things work together for good to them that hate God. Oh my, I don't think so. Whatever happened, it's for good to them to love God. To them who are called, the called one, to a certain purpose of God. Now, we had a tsunami a couple of years back. And all this flooding, all this type, these hurricanes in America, Katrina, and all these people's belongings were destroyed, the house was destroyed, one of these days Singapore can get flooded. Oh yeah. So all things work together for good to them to love God. Some people say, oh, but God took away my son. Well, come to the realization that David realized, God was dealing with him. It was for his good. Take away his son. So you know that God wants you to make you what he wants to make you. God does not go around outside dealing with the criminals out there, dealing with those people who are non-believers, but he deals with believers. He deals with you. You are his chosen. But Israel, God deal with them until they just keep backsliding because they're okay, now they go to the Gentile. And so you are the elect. He deals with you. Do you see this now? So all these things, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To them that are they're called according to this purpose. So let it be flood, let it be earthquake, let it be whatever things. Oh, Helen Keller. You know Helen Keller? She was bombed, right? She was good in piano. She had never seen anybody at all. Total blind. You know what, she never get into a feeling where she rejects God or something like that. She said one thing, I'm glad I'm blind, but when my eyes are open one of these, the first person I want to see will be my Savior. Did you think about that? All things work together for good to them to love God. See, you do not know what God knows about your life. Now, young people here now, you're teenagers, secondary school, now go to college, they go to university. You may have a desire to excel in your career when you come out of your education, whether tertiary or university. Maybe something you hate already want to be what you already wanted to be. But you do not know what happened 10 years down the road. Huh? You don't know. You see, I thought
When I was in secondary school, I said, no, when I come out, I'm going to be a, doing a doctorate, or be a teacher, or be a, you know, be a physician, or be a technician. Something to matter with the plane. And I was thinking of working for ASI. That's all I wanted to do. Yeah. But you know, God has manipulated my life. Because He cares for me, but He knows me more about me than I do about myself. Do you know that? You think you know more about yourself than God knows about you? And even when I was given a chance, applied for the job, applied for interview, the first interview, oh my, there were 2,000 applicants, and there's only 100 planes, they're going to train 100 technicians. So the first thing is, everybody should run, put 100 questions, and do it within 20 minutes, all those questions. So I said, no, they looked at all the IQ questions. Okay. Study. They call me and say, okay, you pass. So everything is eliminated down. Got about 500 or something. So second interview, oh, I'm in trouble. First, you know what? I see all the instruments on the table, that's no problem. Pliers and screwdrivers and wipes and whatever. But the problem, the first question they ask, just name me one plane Singapore Airlines. I said, what? I said, what do you mean by a plane? I mean, 747, you know, you're sitting like this. No, what is the name of, you know, the engine? You know, the name of this plane. You want a Fokker flagship? Airbus, don't know what. I never heard about this thing. You know what I mean? I'm going to fix a plane. I'm not going to purchase it. You know, when he asked me this question, I don't know how to answer it. You know, he said, oh, I'm sorry, you can go. I said, I'm that finished. Yeah. And I realized, somebody told me, if you are really interested in working in a company, you need to know the company. What they do, what engine they buy, and things like that. So I said goodbye to God. You know, God just wanted me to be what I want to be. And you never know what I would be. I never know what I would be if I want to do what I want to do. And somewhere along the line, if you love God, that's something God let you go your way and walk along, walk into a pool of hogwash. You know what hogwash is? Pig pen, pig stall, pig mud, pig whatever. Let you walk in it because you refuse to happen. God can stop you. Because all things work together, He can bring about some disaster, something to bring you about. Need you to turn around because you're going the wrong way. Look at Israel, how God dealt with them. You know. You're following me? So all things work together for good to never love the Lord. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou saw war and east not, it shall set out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And then the drowned in the earth shall wonder whose name was not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And that is true. If you are a child of God, your name should be in the book of life. It's already in the book of life. Now the book of life, young people, it's not a book in heaven. Right, God? It's a very big book. Check the name. You know, it's not like that. It's not a big book, it's not really a literal book. God don't need any book. He knows your name. You understand? And the book of life, what we always refer to, the Bible always figuratively, analogically, it is all referring to this Bible as the book of life. And that's why you need to find your name in this Bible. You must have a relationship with God to know this Bible and find your name there. When I was young in Sunday school, they always used to say, when a person is become a Christian and he's talking about the angel or about the Lord Jesus Christ, he touched his he wrote my name on a golden pen with a golden pen and write my name up there. Christ took a pen, go to bed, and write the name up there. Okay, now you got baptized. Huh? But already there in God's book of life. It is not a literal book. It is Christ Himself, the very book. If you are part of Him, then the very was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Remember? And the Word was manifest, and made manifest in flesh. And the Apostle John said, "You need to beheld His glory, the glory of God." That's the book. We are all epistles to be read of all men. We are all epistles. We are all book. Huh? You want a book? No, you people are reading you, your life. So Christ was the book. And He shed His blood. His body was torn. That's why He took the bread and said, "Take it, eat it. This is my body. It's given to you." So if we are part of the body, we are part of the Word. Then you are, then your name is in the book of life. You see, there's only one person in this life, and that's God. Right? Outside of God, there's no life. And the Bible says, eternal life is in His Son. Right? God put eternal life in there, that's the Word of life. And Christ gave it to you. And then when you receive Christ, you come to Him. Automatically, your name is there because you're part of Him. And you can never approach God, or you can never know God without the Bible, without His Word. Christ came to declare God. "No man come unto the Father but by me," because He is the book of life. And came to come out by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see. Alright? Now, predestination by God's foreknowledge, as I said before, it is not predestination in itself. Not God choose this one, put heaven, choose that one, put hell, choose that one, put heaven. You know what I'm saying? All of it is not like lottery. Oh, tikam tikam, or we call tikam tikam, or what do you call it? You know, there's a lot of balls in the box, and you put your hand, this one put hell. This one go to heaven. So sorry. You have no choice. You have no choice. That's wrong. The Bible said, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve." We all have a choice. Because why? We are created in God's image. Because we are created in God's image, we have a choice. If we are not created in God's image, we don't have a choice. Huh? Because you see, the intelligence, your intelligence, is in the spirit that God gave you. It's not here. When I was doing that documentary on the Saddam, autism. Oh, fine. The man just, well, everything about him, he's just in this world. And all he knows are numbers. He can take a telephone directory, you know, a telephone book, directly his phone. How many? Thousands and hundreds of thousands of men there in a matter. And he would just look at it like that. If you open it all, he looked at it like that. Columns. His right eye goes look left, his left eye look right. Like this. Left eye look here, right eye looks there. And he just look. And he can remember the name of everybody in there and the numbers that go with that name. Whew! How do you have your mind like that? You know, it's just like a computer. Scan it, it's in there. And look at the list of all the events of the football, huh? Because the football event, all it goes back to how many years in history. Just look at that. Who wins what? What game was played? Where was played? Just look straight, and he just asked him. Who won the World Cup in such and such a year? He will tell you. How many goals was scored? He will tell you. Who scored those goals? He will tell you. You see, the intelligence is not up there in the mind. People think it is the mind. They try to scan the mind. See, the activity is here, the activity is there, blah, 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 blah. Of course, this is a computer that needs to, what we call, bring about the program to work. Like your floppy disk, your hard disk, it's all the data. But you have to boot up the CPU to work. So all data is spent, the CPU then pop, comes up. You knock down the computer, CPU is dead. The floppy disk is still there. The data is still there. Therefore, your data is in your spirit. But the computer out there, something went wrong. You only crunched certain data. You know what? Your passion, your emotion, your intelligence, love, everything is centered in the spirit. That's why God made man in his own image. In the image of God, make he him. And that's the image. That's the spiritual side of God. The spirit. The intelligence, everything that goes along with it. You know, I remember Zoe 5 years ago or something. Maybe 4 years ago or something. Or three, I can't remember now. She talked. Said one day, she said, Dad! God make you my dad. I'm your daughter because God make you my dad. Said, no, not necessarily. I want me not necessarily. Sometimes, you know, we look at it like this. You know, Daniel said, Paul, you're my dad, don't make you my dad. Make nobody else my dad, but you only. You know, sounds like that, huh? You know. So we need to understand this, that when God created mankind, there's only one pair. Correct? And it says, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Oh, just like a mango seed. You plant it, you got so many. You got a tree, you got hundreds of mango. Right? Here you have someone pluck the mango, walk down 3-4 miles and eat it, and then throw the seed, and that seed grow from there. Right? Another one take the seed, go somewhere else, and plant. So, you don't say that God said, now I'm going to have this mango seed, this mango, eat this mango seed, and bring it all there, plant it there. I need another man to pluck this mango seed. I want him to go there and exactly that. No! Don't let everything be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. If everything is God, like playing chess, king go to queen, eat queen, king pawn this, knight here. No, it is not God. God is playing a game. You know what I mean? That's why sometimes you say, no, whoa. People, I always think about it. Say, oh, God is playing a drama, huh? You know, playing a drama. As Shakespeare says on the words of stage, and all men and women are merely players. You have the exits and the entrances. And all men in his lifetime plays many parts. Pull the leg and here's the puppet. Go this way, do this thing, move. And that's what God is trying to do. Pull your leg, move here, move there, eat the ice cream, eat your chicken. You think God is doing that sort of thing? No, that's the mentality some people think that God is doing that. No. You have your choice. Today you want to go eat chicken, go eat chicken. God is not going to heal you. Huh? You think God is going to, no, you're going to eat this or something. No, you have your choice. You see. But God deal with our spiritual life. Once you become His children, then He can intervene now. Huh? I saw all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. God intervene now to guide you along the path. They want to draw you closer for what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, men are not robots. Obviously, we all have intelligence, like still God. But why did God allow the thing that He allowed? Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh my, that's... So we have not yet seen, huh? The suffering of this present time. Sometimes we grumble a little bit. I think we all do. More or less. Is that right? And I think that Singaporeans grumble a lot. More than the African, maybe more than the Indian. I think we Singaporeans grumble a lot because you know we have so many things and we want to have better things. You know. But the sovereign of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what I? The earnest expectation of the creature, the creation, know, waiting for the manifestation of sons of God. See what? Sons of God. You are sons and daughters of God. But the Bible always use sons only. So don't worry about you being not son. You're sisters. Alright? Sons of God is just inclusive. You don't say, usually say sons and daughters, but just sons of God. Because one of these days, the sons of God will be manifest. And that is in the millennium reign of Christ. Alright? Where we who are sealed with the Holy Ghost will be changed with a body that is glorious. And then we will be displayed out there for 1,000 years as we rule with Christ over this earth. Then it will be the manifestation of God's truth. And this is what Paul is talking about. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to penalty, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaned, prevailed in pain together until now. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. They are all saved, right? I hope you are all saved. I hope that those who are not accept Christ and be saved. But those who are saved, those who are children of God, you know what he says? We groan also. But we are waiting for the adoption, the redemption of this body. When this body will be taken and changed. We are saved now. As far as God is concerned, we are saved. But this body is a dying body. It's a corruptible body. You understand that? So, Paul in verse 20 says, the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly by God, God did not force it, you know. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, do you think God forced them to sin? But some people say, if God didn't know all these things going to happen, why did he want to create man? I said, well, if he didn't create man, he would not be here asking stupid questions. That's why I always tell them, because you ask them, when you're going to be quick and tell them now. You see? Otherwise, God won't create our man, you won't be here, right? And this question will not be asked, isn't it? You see? But God knew, him or God, yes, but he allows it. Why? Because you see what? He wants to bring about a glorious body. Now, Adam and Eve, think for a moment, Adam and Eve, if they were to propagate the whole earth, there's no sin. There were so many children, thousands, hundreds of thousands, everybody living for a long, long time, years after years, no death, nothing, because it's still this body. It's still the same body. Huh? Think about it. There's nothing special now. It's a body of death. But God wants to bring up a far glorious body than this body. And that's a mystery of it all. That's not because of that God permitted the fall. He knew man will fall, he permitted. Not willingly, but he permitted. He knows the man will fall. He's not going to intervene, let it be. By reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Hope, what hope? We're talking about a blessed hope. And that is the change of his body. That out of his corruptible body, he will become incorruptible. Mortality will put on immortality. That's the hope they're looking for. Got it? So God knows all that. Now, as you say, he foreknows, he predestinates. As I said, predestination is not God simply choosing. He chose because of his foreknowledge. The thing is that he foreknows. And he pronounced it to what? The Bible said, to be conformed to the image of his son. Romans 28 and Romans 8:29. Remember? To be conformed to the image of his son. And that's what you are pronouncing it. You're not pronouncing to heaven, you know. You are pronouncing to an image.
You realize what I'm saying? If God, because it's for knowledge, predestined to heaven, that means there's no purpose. There must be something that sort of will bring it about. And how does it bring about? God did not say, the Bible did not say, Paul did never say, that whom he followed, he predestined them to heaven. No. He predestined them unto sonship. He made them to conform to the image of his son. You know what Jesus was up there in the river Jordan? When he was baptized, the Bible said, when he came out of the water, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit came down, and John saw it, and the voice said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, that whole thing there on display is adoption. Now, adoption is something which people who study English doesn't understand. What is adoption? Oh, adoption. Adoption is that I adopt Nathaniel as my son. Because he's not my son, but I adopt him. That is how we always think. But in the context of Middle Eastern, adoption is when someone who has already been tutored in the footsteps of the father, and has come and passed his exam to the school. And then the ring of the father is put into him, and he is now called adopted. So every transaction the son did is as good as what the father approved. That's what is called adoption. You understand? And so that's what you, brothers and sisters, all things work together for good to them, love Lord, the Lord, and because he foreknown you, he's going to predestine you unto sonship, to become the image of the son unto sonship. Because one of these days, when the body is changed, when you go out there and be with Christ, you have all authority. Just as Jesus can have authority. Alright? And then, let's go to Romans 8:29. For whom did he foreknown, he also did the dust to become the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among men, many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. That's obvious, isn't it? If he knows me and predestinate to sonship, he must call. Huh? He must call. So that's why he sent the gospel out to call. He sent out the word to call. Hello, are you there? And it's called. Call you. When you hear the gospel, he call you. And he called you. So then whom he predestined, he must call. And when he called, he must justify you. When he comes to hear the gospel and he call you with the heart, and you cry to the Lord, send me, I'm a sinner, you repent. He justify you. He has to. Or else you're going to begin your journey. And whom he justified, he also glorified. You know, when the UPC, when they read this, they say, oh, this is talking about the Old Testament saints. So, what do the Old Testament say? Because see, all these are past tense. Oh, in the past tense. He justified the Old Testament saints. But you know one thing? This is talking about the Son. And the Old Testament saints doesn't know anything about the Son. Is that right? They don't know about the Son of God. And as far as God is concerned, he considered all things that were not as though they were. Amen. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who also changed our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's the purpose of it. Huh? When he conformed to the image of his son and we adopted, the one was changed. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. What did he mean by glorified? Your body was changed. You must have a glorious body. You must have a spiritual body. And that's what Paul said in Romans 8:20, the creature was made subject to vanity.
not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected sin in the hope. You understand that? To make this body change. But our conversation, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 39. Our flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds, and also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it is sown in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Not the second Adam, the last Adam. The Bible is very specific. First Adam, first man, natural man. Last Adam, second man, spiritual man. Just because Jesus is the second man does not mean he is the second Adam. You need him the last Adam. Because you know why? There will not be anyone else to come. Because the first Adam was God's first creation. The second man, Jesus Christ, was the last Adam because he was the one that brought about the recreation of man. We all recreated. A new heart have I given you. Is that right? God created a new one there. So you cannot have another Adam. So Christ cannot be the second Adam. He's just the last. There will be no more. The Bible is very specific. You can see what it says there. It's thick, clear it, and it means it. Alright? Now he takes the blood. You know the life is in the blood. You all know that, isn't it? And the spirit of the life of Christ, or the spirit of the life that is in the blood of Christ, return to us, or return on the day of Pentecost, and bring that life to you and me. So in this blood, that provides the way for us to be reconciled back to God. Romans 8:8 now, so then, here they are in the flesh, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Now, when Jesus came, he got the Spirit of God. He says, unless a grain of seed die, it will not bring for much fruit. Right? So, the body of Jesus Christ must die, must go back into dust form, or identify with the dust which mankind came out of. So, having shed his blood, and God brought forth a new body, then the same Spirit which dwells in us, but also God, quicken it, be likened unto his. Because what was in Christ was the word of life. What is in us is also the word of life. You see? And so that which is earthly is earthly, that which is heavenly. And obviously, earthly is not something which God wanted. That Adam and Eve should have for the rest of the life. He wants things something far better. And that is a body made out of the Word that contains the Spirit of life that infuses with this mortal body or this body of dust and changes it into a spiritual body. So that is the reason why predestination by God's fundament was to bring it back to them. Go back to the beginning. Romans 8. See that you also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son. Verse 30, from whom he did predestinate, then he also called, again by ear. Whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, you also glorify. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I make thee a father of many nations before him whom he called, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things that which did not as though they were, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being now weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, but he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was also able to do. Now when God called Abraham, Abraham knows that his wife cannot give birth. She's sterile, so to speak. Or the egg just cannot meet up with a sperm cell to form a fetus. Something is wrong somewhere. But God promised Abraham. And when God renewed his covenant with him at the age of 99, he still did not consider his wife womb dead. And in fact, his wife already passed over the period of childbearing. She already passed the menopausal stage. No more egg, nothing. But yet, the Bible said, Abraham believed. What he had promised, he also was able to perform it. Because you know why? When God promised it, he will bring it past. And he considered all the things that now I ask you, do you have eternal life? Those of you who are Christians, those of you who believe, do you have eternal life now? Or is eternal life only when you die? Eternal life is present. It's not something future. No? Eternal life is now. So if eternal life is now, are you afraid of death? Death is only a threshold, huh? Or not, there's what we call that, the doorway. Huh? You just cross over. You know what I mean? One moment, sleep here, next moment, up, you get up the other side. It just only cross over to life, not to condemnation. So the Bible says all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. So unless you are died with Christ in baptism, unless you die with Jesus Christ to all your sin, you are still very much alive in your mortal body. You are still very much alive without salvation. But once you are dead, why would I want a baptism with Jesus Christ? I'm dead to sin, huh? I buried with Christ. I buried all my sin with him. Then I got out of the water and raptured to new life. Do you understand that? So now, I cannot die again. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is judgment. So if you are already dead, there's no more judgment. Do you know that? Does that mean any sense? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is the judgment. Have you been judged already? Have you been judged already? You have been judged now. Yes. You have been judged. You see, the Bible says judgment began in the house of the Lord. When you receive the word of God, God says, you are a sinner. And the wages of the sin is death. But God gives you a gift. And that gift is Jesus Christ. If you won't believe, you are passed from death to life. Yeah? So that's the one they judge now. So once you are judged, you cannot be judged again. No way can you be judged a second time. See? So that Jesus was already dead. So when we resurrect, we won't be judged. But those who are not dying, in Christ. And yet, guys, you have to be judged. John 6:37. All that the Father gave me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that if all which he have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. And everyone that seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. That's rest assured. Rest assured. But all which the Father given him. God looked down into the future. He sees certain people. Those that can accept the word. Remember? Those that can accept the word. And he looked into their life, even at the future, from the beginning. He sees everything. And such are the ones that he predestined. Because of his foreknowledge. He predestined unto sonship. You know, there are people who have the gospel crossed their path many times. Huh? They just ignore it. Until maybe they go 99 years old and is about to pass off. Huh? And the gospel comes in again one more time. God knows all these things. He knows. Even if he has to hunt high and low for years after years for him. And so when he came up to him, then he realized, oh, I'm being so foolish. I spent all my youth squandering. Huh? Have a wonderful time in the world. Just like the thief of the cross. See, the thief of the cross is an interesting character. He doesn't have a chance to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And so like a man who died at the age of 99 before he died except the gospel, he had no chance to be conformed. Do you understand? And a lot of people don't understand. You see, in the kingdom of God, there are different positions in the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Sure. You see, some will take care of 10 cities. Some will take care of 100 cities. Remember what the Lord said? Sure. You see. Some of you may say, oh, that doesn't matter. No problem about taking care of sin. I don't want to take care of the sin. I just want to be saved. That's all. You know? And that's that. And I said, being a Christian is an... If you're a Christian, you should be adventurous. Huh? Christian... the adventurer. You know, the Bible is full of exploits for you to experience. It is a very interesting journey. Right. Romans 9:1. I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. There are great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brother, my kinsman, according to the flesh. Paul is being very grieved about the situation of the Israelite, the Israelis people, or his people. Who are Israelites? To whom pertain the doctrine? You see, God gave this gospel first to the Jew. You know, when God saw this earth in the days of Noah, had shaped, God says, okay, now, let me go and visit my friend Noah and ask him to build up, because I'm going to wipe all these human beings away from the surface of the earth. So good old Noah, I can do the voice of God and start to build up the ark. And then, after the flood was over, it so went in the ark, it so came out, and Shem Japheth. This was Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Shem, and Mrs. Japheth. And God looked down at them. Oh, You know, you see the characters of Ham. He knew the character of Japheth. He knew the character of Sam. You see, he didn't mix up to behave like this. You know, some of you, all young people, you are behaving differently. Eh? Some are very quiet. Some are very rowdy. Is that also all children are different? We all are different too. But God did not make Shem to be like that, or make Ham to be like that. Do you understand? You see. Once there is someone sees that cross, then there's a lot of problem. You see. And Ham got much bigger. Now that's one thing about it, that you know you are not born a Chinese. And Barakani is not born in India because God says, I'm going to make Barakani an Indian, and he's going to be born in Malaysia, and he's going to come to Singapore and work. No, he got him to do that. Do you understand? He did not even make me a Chinese. He said, I'm going to make this guy a Chinese, and I'm going to dump him to Singapore, and he's going to preach the gospel. No, God did not do that. All we all came from all the mixture, just spread. You make me marry someone, here it comes. Just like now, for example, huh? If I don't marry my wife, Zoe and Gerald may not exist. Obviously, huh? Think about it logically. Or maybe they look different. Maybe Zoe is fat. And Gerald is short. Maybe, you know, it depends because the genes mix with it. But God, from that one barad, from one parent, or even from a pair of dogs, God just said, because He already put in there the mutations of DNA, where you will just change a little and different kinds will come up. You know what? Every one of us born in Singapore, remember that you are not born a Somalia living out there in the land where they are full of drugs, where there are a lot of disease and baby die. How do you know you could be born in Somalia and die after a week? Different one. But God knows all these things won't be. And look there. You know what about election, predestination? We talk about predestination by God's foreknowledge. He predestined you to sonship. But for those who have never heard the gospel, God looked out future. He knows who they are. He knows what they will be if they're given the gospel. Like I said, this in Cornelius' family. Cornelius was there in Israel. But there must be other kind of people that are like Cornelius in China and other parts of the world in the days of the apostles. They are just like Cornelius who worship the one living God, the unknown God. Because they never get a chance to know the idols, the stones and wood are not real. You see? And God's election was there. You understand? That's the way you don't have to worry. But those who have never got a chance to hear the gospel in their life, God will know how to judge, because He's God. And God's judgment is righteous. Because people think that, wow, if they never heard the gospel, they're going to hell. What do you think so? And people think that, oh, I'm a Christian. My wife's a Christian. My little boy is a Christian. He must go to heaven when he dies. It's a fire. No? Who said that you will go to heaven? Election is in the knowledge of God. And it will stand short. But when it comes to predestination, it's dealing with you. Make you conform to the image of His Son. Huh? Okay, let's go on quickly and close. Verse 5. Verse 4. Who are Israel? To whom? Pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternity blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has no effect, but they are not all Israel who are here of Israel. And nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as seed. Not all Israel are Israel. Not all Christians are really Christians, huh? Remember this. People can call themselves Christian. but they don't believe, they don't live like Krishna. Many Israelites, because, my forefather is Abraham. That doesn't mean that you are Israel. It is pertained to the promise that in Isaac, your seed shall be called, not in Jacob. Because God promised Abraham a son, and that son is Isaac, not Jacob. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and say, I shall have a son. And not only this, when Rebecca was conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of calling to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older one shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. I would have compassion on whomever I would have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, not of him who runs, but of God who knows, who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, you know, for this same purpose I raise you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name shall be declared in all the earth. God will intervene, brother and sister. He will intervene because he watches over his children. He cares for his own. Remember? Casting all your cares upon him, he cares for you. You see what happened in this? God already knows about Esau. He knows about Jacob. He knew that Jacob longs for the birthright. He knew that Esau would sell the birthright. That's why he said, I hate Esau for that. Huh? And I love Jacob for it. Because he loved it. He loved, he wanted the birthright. You know, brother and sister, you have the birthright. And if you have desire for the birthright, for those who are not the birthright, desire and hold it. And those who sell the birthright, God will hate you. Because he's given you to you and you spoil it. You know, God is full of mercy. He gave Cain a sin offering. But Cain spoiled that and walked away. You know? And one of these days there will be no more mercy given. If the gospel keep on going out and people refuse to hearken into it, to it, one of these days there will be no more mercy or judgment. So, you see, if your heart is right towards God, you know, God look at it. God knows everything about it. Verse 18. Therefore he has mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he wills, he hardens. He who said to me, then, why does he still fight forth? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath, to make his power known, and deal with much long suffering, the vessel of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory? Even us whom he called, not of the Jew only, but also of the Gentile. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said of to them, you are not my people. Then they will be called sons of the living God. You know, the potter and the clay. Some people say, God, what do you mean this? Now, let's see. How many of you gentlemen here think that you are handsome? How many of you think that you are beautiful? So we know it's the same thing, we always go to the mirror, always keep on looking at ourselves. Especially when you get older, or you see whether there's any more wrinkles coming out, or any white hair coming out, you know. But you know, the trouble is sometimes people who are angry, people are angry because they are born, maybe they are blind, born crippled. You know what I mean? And then they go through life with all that affliction, infirmities. And they say, come up on me, you make me curse! You know? And I think one thing for sure, a child of God, we don't want to ask questions like this. He will get a little upset. How can I never ask that kind of question? Then there are many also Christians who realize there was a purpose. There are some people who was normal, and all of a sudden God took off one arm. And look back, they meditate, they realize God had a purpose. If God took over one of your legs in an accident or whatever it is, remember there is a purpose. Because all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. Because God intervened before some serious thing happened, they will destroy you completely. Huh? What did Jesus say? In my right hand, do something bad, chop it off, rather than go into single main, rather than have two hands. You see, because that was just figuratively speaking. Now you have a portal. You know what a portal is? Have you ever tried portal? You have a spinning wheel platform. It goes round, round, round. And here's a lump of clay. You took a lump of clay, pop, you just tear it up, you slap it under the spinning table, and you start to shape it. Now you know, some professional portal, when they shape from the same lump, as you shape it, they feel that this lump of clay is not yielding this touch. You know what I mean? He will take the whole thing and just put it aside. From the same lump, he ticked again and put it on. He will move again, and some of the clay, some of this piece of lump of clay will yield. So one day, the potter has the right to make one, okay, I'm going to yield, I'm going to make this one worth $100. The other one just 50 cents. You know, maybe something like that. So what then are you to complain to the porter? Why do you make me tell something worth 5 cents on the shelf? And the other one worth $100 for a piece of pot? You know? So every one of us, remember, God knows. And He will shape us. Go back now as you close. You know, we're all looking for the coming of the Lord. But you know what? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Has some countless slackness. But He's coming towards us. You know, if God does not want us, any of us to perish. But we also come to repentance. Ephesians. Chapter 1. And go back to the second one. Let me go and close on that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints. I will read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all heavenly blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that's what I think about it. Ephesians, the saints there are very privileged. You know, they have an in-depth understanding. And Paul would talk to them like that. Paul, the apostles, the letter that was addressed to them. So every one of us are sitting in heavenly places. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before Him. You got it? We have to be conformed to the image of His Son so that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children. As I said, I remember. Because Christ is the first and only begotten Son. And we are all sons and daughters of God. Christ the firstborn. And the rest of us follow. See? According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us to be accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Nothing else. Don't say that for your predestination you are just children in hell. No. Or they prepare you to heaven. You have to come by the blood. You do not know from God's point of view. God sees you. He knows everything about you. And you are in the position now to yield. You say, yes, I believe. And when you come, now you see, I come in the knowledge of the Lord all these years now. I have been a Christian for more than 40 years. And you know what? Because of my relationship with Him, I understand the word better. I understand the relationship with Him. And I believe you too. will come to that relationship. Because God has a pool. He pulled you. From the very beginning, He knows you. He put a little curse in your heart to come to Christ. And the deep calls unto the deep. If you're an eagle, the moment eagle calls, you will be able to recognize the voice. And as Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Others' voice they will not follow. And you follow the sheep, you learn, you yield. Or having known, make known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He prepares in Himself to bring us to sonship. Remember? God's purpose was to have a family. And you are part of that family. And that was His purpose to bring you to that place. And when He calls, He justifies. When He justifies, He glorifies. And sure, you will have a body like Jesus Christ. In whom also we obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worked all things of the counsel of His own will. Remember, from the beginning, when the world was created, before it was created, He already counseled with Himself. So this is going to be, this is what going to be, this is what going to be. I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I'm going to work this thing out and bring it to pass. And once He had counseled with Himself, He declared it, it will be. You don't have to work. That we should be in the praise of His glory, we first trust in Christ, whom we also trust. After that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Remember, you are sealed. You are sealed until the day of your redemption. And remember, if you are sealed, don't remove that seal. Nobody can remove it except you yourself. If you want to reject it, you can reject it. And sometimes we don't realize the way we live our life. You're not walking right before the Lord. And God's going to shake you. You're going to shake. We're living the last day. And anything could happen in this world today. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless you. Thank you for your love and thank you for your mercy towards us. There are many hearts here, Father, that still searching. There's still struggle, O Lord, to you. I pray, Father, Lord, bring that heart to the place of the great love. That they can see the great mercy of God. And we see, Father, that the days pass and spend and the night soon cometh, Lord, when this world is not plunged into a time of great darkness. But Lord, having foreknown us and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, therefore, Father, we ask that you continue, Lord, to mold us, to shape us as a potter with His clay. That we be truly worthy, O Lord, as a vessel fit for the Master's use. We ask, therefore, Father, to guide us in our daily walk with you. Time that we ought to spend with you. That's where we get our strength, Father. We ask your grace today now. Just bless all the years they hear. And to keep those words in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray.